I bring grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us this morning in worship. Many Christians today have believed in this illusion that they don't need to be connected to a church in order to be good Christians. And so they take comfort in watching others or other Christians in church on the television, and they make that the church home. Well, today from our gospel reading, Jesus refutes this idea by letting us know that we are a community of people. We have been baptized into a community. We have been baptized into a body. And that the idea of living outside of this community is flat out wrong. You and I will agree that we live in a time now where we as the body of Christ need one another. I believe with every conviction in my heart that every true Bible-believing, born-again, baptized Christian needs to be not in any church, but in churches where their faith is protected and encouraged. This is so important for the time that we find ourselves in. For the time in which we live today is so similar to the time described in the Old Testament text this morning, found in Habakkuk. And I just pulled from verse 4 of chapter 1, where it reads, "The law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted." It is exactly what we find happening in our time today, that the righteous are being hemmed in. And because the righteous are being hemmed in, you do not find righteousness in our community as it ought to be out there in society. Righteousness have been so much hemmed in that you cannot, in the public square, talk about Jesus like it used to be back in the days. Righteousness is so hemmed in that even at the highest level of government office, you don't find them talk about righteousness. I had the opportunity to visit the Capitol building about 2 years now back. And while we were there, they walked us through the Capitol, and we saw a lot of things that used to happen way back then when Congress were full of Christians. And today you no longer find those things happening. And the reason why it is this way is because righteousness have been hemmed in. Wickedness have increased in our time. And Jesus Christ made it clear that in the last days that wickedness will increase. And this is exactly what we are finding in a time like this. This is not the time for any one Christian to try to live out the Christian life outside of the church. It is not possible. It never works. Because we need one another. And the only way to strengthen our faith in such a time as this is to continue together as a community of believers in Christ. As we do this, let's together look at some of our Lord's words this morning as he addresses the issues regarding this concern in our community, in our effort to live out in a healthy, faith-based community. Now, speaking to you this morning under the topic, living a faith, a life, rather, of faith. Living a life of faith. The first thing we want to look at is the Christian's character in this community. Look in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble." The first thing we draw out of this text is the fact that Jesus warns us the things that cause people to stumble are sure to come. What this is telling you and I is that temptation is always going to come. This is referring to anything that would cause someone to fall away from the faith. And temptation is going to come to us. This is telling you and I that we have inside of us an old sinful nature. And the sinful nature we have in us always want to dominate. This sinful nature we have in us always want to take control. And God is telling us, and he's giving us a word this morning, to be careful. Be careful about selfishness. Be careful about ignorance. Be careful about isolation. We have to be careful about these things, because our selfishness is going to cause us to hurt others. Our selfishness is going to cause others to fall away from the faith. God is telling us to be careful about that. He's telling us to be careful about our ignorance, because when we are ignorant to the truth of the Word of God, and this is why I said there is a need for every Christian to be in a church where they are being taught the Word of God, because you have to live in the understanding of God's Word to be a successful faith-based Christian. And so we have to be careful not to be ignorant to the truth. But we have to also be careful about isolation. When we isolate ourselves and try to live exclusively from the church and yet call ourselves Christians, it doesn't work, my friends. It doesn't work. The television doesn't cut it. We need to be in a community together as we grow together. But Jesus Christ warns us that these things that will cause people to stumble are sure to come. What he's telling us is that we cannot stop it. We don't have the capacity or the power or the authority or the means to stop it. And the reason we cannot stop it is because we are living in a world that is falling away. We are living in a world that is being controlled by the evil one. And so we cannot stop these things from coming in our way. It's like death. We cannot stop it. All right? Physical death is bound to come. No matter how much cosmetic we use, no matter how much vitamins we take, no matter how much we stay on our regimen of pills given to us by the doctor, death is sure to come. We cannot stop it. And just as sure as we cannot stop death, folks, listen to me. The Bible is telling us also that the things that will cause us to stumble, we cannot stop it. We cannot stop these things. The reason why we can't stop it is because the devil is busy. Satan is busy. He's busy. He's the most busiest person that is on the earth right now. It is the devil. He's up working before you wake up in the morning. He's up working when you are asleep at night. This guy is busy, and his plans is to stop God's people. So Jesus talks about this. Next thing is Jesus declares a war. He declares a war, and the word war here is talking about a misfortune. The reason why this is so bad is because of the verse that comes after this in verse 2. In verse 2 of Luke 17, he says it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea. He's talking about anyone who causes someone to stumble. He said, woe unto that person, because it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. This is serious. This is so serious. Jesus Christ, God is concerned about people. He sent his son into this world to go on the cross and die to give us redemption and to bring us eternal life. That's the extent to which God's love for us goes. And he's not going to sit back there and watch somebody causes another person to fall or stumble away from their faith. And he's saying it's going to be better for that one person to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. It means that this person should not be seen at all. It is better to just die than to cause someone to stumble. That's how serious it is. Folks, so as we live in our time, as we live as Christians on this earth, we need to take these words very seriously. We are responsible to each other, Jesus Christ is saying. We're responsible to each other. It's like the word Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. He says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. That is, we are one another's keeper. And we have to be careful about the way we treat one another. And we have to be careful about the way we behave around one another. So our job as Christians is to be encouraging one another in the faith and not discouraging anyone away from the faith. This is what we need to be doing as Christians. So there Jesus teaches us that our character is a big part of the community of faith. Our character plays a big role in this community of faith. The reason why I stand here to speak to you and I have this opportunity or have been blessed gracefully to stand here and do this is because my character is reflecting what I say. If my character does not reflect that, I'm not worthy of standing up here and talking God's word back to you. This is so important for all of us to understand that our character is important in our walk with the Lord and in our fellowship with one another. So in my lifetime, I've seen people get hurt and walk away from the church, and all kinds of things have happened. They walk away from the faith, the community of faith, because of how hurt they became by something that happened because they got hurt by others. And when you talk to them, they rarely bring out that anger as they talk back to you about church. I met one of those people just during this week. A lady came here looking for help. And I'm talking about Jesus and talking about eternal life and talking about the danger of hell. And she goes back into time and is telling me her own life story and all of the things that she went through in life in the church that caused her to walk away. And I'm there encouraging this woman to return to faith. These things happened, and this is why Jesus is saying war to anyone who would cause anyone to stumble. This is very important that we take this very seriously, because God is concerned about his sheep. Over and again in the Bible, he talks about it, how the shepherd will leave the 99 and run after the one and bring that one back. This is so important. God is telling us that his people means everything to him. And we should take them seriously as well. So we live together and we care for one another. Next thing to look at is the Christian's compassion in this community. Look in Luke 17, 3 and 4. So wash yourself, he says. If your brother or sister sin against you, rebuke them. If they repent, he says, forgive them. Even if they sinned against you, listen to this, 7 times in a day and 7 times back, he said, they come back to you saying, I repent. You must forgive them. All right? The first thing in this text he talks about is watch yourself or watch yourselves. You see, the reason Jesus is making this a proclamation to us or declaration to us is because, you know, we spend too much time watching others' faults. And we don't take enough time to watch ourselves. We talk about the failures of others. We talk about the wrongdoings. And we hear about it and we go and spread the news. But Jesus is saying, no, instead of us taking time to look at others and talk them down, we must watch ourselves. It is so important. You remember the story in the Bible when all of those people took up stones to stone a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus says to them, the one among you that do not have any sin, let me throw the first stone. The Bible tells us that everybody dropped the stone and walked away. This is exactly what it is. That story tells us that every single one of us in this room need Jesus. Everybody needs the cross. Everybody needs forgiveness. Everybody needs redemption. Everybody ought to be falling at the foot of the cross and asking God for help instead of spending time talking about other people who have failed. This is so important. We need to be building each other up. Watch yourselves, he says to us. Jesus then goes into the core issue of life together, forgiveness, in this text. He addresses it as an ongoing issue. All right? Why? Because Jesus knows that the closer we live in relationship with other people, the more occasion will arise when we hurt one another as we live closely together. And therefore, there must be more mercy in that relationship. And this is the reason why we know that every day our Lord gets up with new mercy for us. The Bible says his mercies are made new every morning. And because he does that, the reason is so that we can have enough mercy to use during the day. So because Jesus makes his mercy new every morning, it is the reason why you and I are able to come at the cross every day, every hour in the day, every second in the day, as a matter of fact, and fall at the cross and say, Lord, forgive me, have mercy. And God does have mercy. It's the same thing he's asking us to do. He's asking us to transfer what we have received, to reciprocate what we have received, not back to him, but to the people who hurt us. Many of us Christians are walking around with hurt in our hearts and then walking around with unforgiveness. We just cannot find it in our hearts to forgive those who have fallen short, all right, against us. But Jesus is saying we must do it. We must do it because he's doing it for us. And that's the way in which we receive his forgiveness, when we forgive those who have hurt us. So this is something we must take seriously as well. So this is why he makes his mercy new every morning. There must be enough mercy to forgive one person who repents 7 times in one day. That's how serious it is. 7 times in one day. We don't do very well with that, you know. Because when somebody hurts us the first time and it happens the second time, you remind them about the first time. And then they do it the third time. That's it. You are out. But Jesus said 7 times. And he's telling in one day. Look at the tolerance in there. Look at the tolerance in there. And this is something we all need to take so seriously. The disciples heard, and he says, they said to Jesus Christ after they heard this, they said to him, look at this, in Luke 17, verse 5. They said, Lord, increase our faith. This calls for a lot of faith. For anyone to do such thing, they have to have enough faith to do this. Increase our faith. We are very low here on faith. We need more to be able to do this. And that brings us to our next and last point this morning, the Christian's courage. Look in Luke 17, 16. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, Jesus gives them a description of the amount of faith needed to be able to do great things in our community of faith. And look at the amount of faith we need. He says the mustard seed. The mustard seed during those days was the smallest seed in Jesus' time. And he says that's all you need. Just as small as a mustard seed, and you will be able to move mountains. Matter of fact, he was telling them, you have it. And it's the same thing he's saying to all of us here in this room this morning. If you have God's word rested on your heart, you've got it. It's inside of you. The thing is, we are not using what has been given to us by grace. And it's the reason why everything around us seems so difficult, is because we are not walking in faith. But Jesus is saying, if you have just small, you've got it. And my friends, I know it, that you have it. Because you've received faith. You've received the word of God. It is, the matter of fact, the reason why you got up this morning to be in worship at 8:30 this morning is because you've got it. It's inside of you. It's inside of me. And God is saying to you and I, you don't need another prayer to be able to get the faith that you need. You don't need another fasting to get the faith you need. What God has given us is enough to make us to carry out the work that he has called us to. I'm not saying don't fast. I'm not saying don't pray. But I'm saying you have enough faith in you to walk the walk and the life of faith in the Christian community. It's what Jesus Christ is saying. Because we have enough faith. So, the next thing he says that we do carry a level of ignorance. All right? We do carry a level of ignorance to the tremendous power the Christian faith has. You know, the other day I sat and took my cell phone and was looking at it. And it amazed me to know how many things I'm carrying in this little device. All right, called a cell phone. Imagine what it used to be like before we had a cell phone and you had to carry all of the things that are in this little cell phone. Then it means you're going to have to carry a lot of things because it has in it so many things. All right? It downsizes our load that we used to carry before. And we no longer need to carry all those things like we used to before. But you and I know it before the cell phone came, what it used to be like. And so you look at this little thing sometimes and we overlook the load that it carries. We get so used to having it, we overlook what it is able or capable of doing. And that's how it is with faith. We carry it every day, and we overlook the power and capacity that faith has. And so we don't lean on it. But I come to tell you this morning that God is saying to us, to you, to me, to all of us, that we need to rely on the little faith that we have daily to walk the walk that he has called us to. He's saying you have enough. We just don't know. The mustard seed faith has the ability to remove deeply rooted circumstances out of our lives. That's what scripture is saying. That's the power of the word of God. Jesus is saying we have it and we need to use it. We have what it takes. To all of us here this morning, we have what it takes. We have what it takes to lift one another up in our faith. We have what it takes, you know, to be the Christian that God has called us to be. We have what it takes to witness to those we come in contact with. I decided this gone week to increase my walk of faith by speaking more to people about eternal life. And I was amazed at the kind of responses I was getting when I share my faith with people and talk about the danger of hell and how God is calling us unto himself because there is a hell. And when I brought up this issue, people listened. And so this morning I want to encourage us and say to you who think that you need a little bit more than what you have to do what God has called you to do. I want to tell you this morning, you've got it. God is giving you everything that you need to become all that he wants you to be. Let us walk in faith and enjoy the glory that God brings to us. I pray this morning that these words from God would encourage your faith and keep you steadfast in it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.